A few years ago, there was a movie entitled Butterflies Are Free. And in the movie, there is a scene in an old, dingy San Francisco apartment where Don, a young blind man, and Jill, his new lover, are having an argument. Jill is a young, free spirit, very much in love with Don. But she's afraid that she simply cannot make any kind of a lasting commitment to him. And above all, she does not want to risk hurting him. And so, at this scene, she's ready to walk away from the relationship that she is so afraid of. In reality, Don loves her a great deal, but he is hurt, and he's very angry that she would be able to leave him so easily. And then as she is leaving, unsuccessfully trying to make light of the whole situation, Don, the blind man, shouts out at her, "You know, I really feel very sorry for you. I'm physically handicapped. I'm blind. But you're emotionally handicapped. You can't allow yourself to get close enough to take the chance of getting hurt yourself or even hurting someone else. Well, let me tell you something, Jill. You may love me in your own way, as you say, but your kind of love frightens me. Don't love me because I'm blind. That's only pity. And my mother has a corner on that market. But for my sake, don't be afraid to love me because I am blind either. You think that if it doesn't work out, you'll hurt me even more than I'm hurt now, simply because I'm blind. That's not fair, Jill. Either way, love me because I'm me, and because we have something very special between us." That's an incredible statement. And that kind of scene suggests to us what the Word of God is, and how most of us people experience it in ordinary, everyday life. The reading from Matthew today and Isaiah, both readings talk about the Word of God and how that Word either does affect us or does not affect some people. And all of us, or at least most of us, when we hear those words today in the Scripture, are tempted simply to shake our heads and say to ourselves, "Yes, that's very nice, the Word of God. We've heard all of that before. The same words we've heard so often from Father and here in the church all the time, and then we get up and we go on our merry ways." But one thing that is so important has been said this afternoon in those readings, that the Word of God is always with us. The Word of God is always alive, always with us, and so very, very often we fail to recognize it. It goes on dropping on our rock-hard ground, and we simply refuse to allow it to grow. Or else we're so accustomed to hearing the Word of God in nice, churchy language, we give it the Word of God. In doing so, we compartmentalize it right out of our daily lives. Yet the reading from Isaiah this afternoon says that the Word of God never comes to people without doing its appropriate work before the Word returns to the Father. It cannot be cut off from us. It cannot be put into some kind of a nice Sunday kind of place. It works where it will, and it serves him who will hear it and respond to it. That means that perhaps it is not the Word of God. It is not the seed that we have to worry about. The Word will always survive. The seed is always there. It is we people who are in question. The crux of the message lies within us. How do we hear the Word of God? How do we people respond to it? And how do we, having heard it once, spread it around and share it with other people? And then we ask, what does all of this have to do with the scene from Butterflies Are Free? And what does it have to do with us? Well, it seems that we expect the Word of God to hit us over the head and announce itself by name that it has just arrived. And that's wrong. If we are to learn how to take Scripture seriously, we learn that the Word of God is around us all of the time. The Word of God is around us and alive all of the time. It is blowing in the wind, and it sneaks up on us in poignant little scenes like the one from The Butterflies Are Free. And yet it seems that we have learned only to hear the Word of God when we are able to dub it God's love or divine justice or some kind of professional religious term. As a matter of fact, there is only one kind of love expressed in different kinds of ways. There's only one kind of love, but expressed in many kinds of ways. When blind Don tells his young lover Jill what it really means to love and even to be hurt because of it, isn't that love God's love? Whether we call it that or not? Or isn't the love between a husband and wife God's love, whether we call it that or not? Can any real kind of love be anything else but a gift from God? And if we believe that, isn't the Word of God really being spoken to us all of the time, day in and day out, in so many of our ordinary, everyday situations, and not just from the pulpit on weekends? The Word of God is coming to us alive, day in and day out. And unless we firmly believe that we are spoken to in so many of our common everyday moments of our lives, in all of the simple little human encounters, in moments of passion, in reflective insight, we are simply going to miss the Word all day long, 6 days out of the week. As we grow to understand the closeness of God to us and how God speaks to us, we must begin to believe firmly that the Word of God is as real in those moments as when it comes to us from Scripture or from the mouth of the preacher in the pulpit. Otherwise, each of us is going to run the risk of simply draining all religious experience right out of the most common, plentiful, and meaningful experiences of our lives. Religious experience and the closeness of God speaking to us comes to us from Monday through Saturday in the ordinary events of life. Perhaps that's why Scripture tells us that the Word of God lands on barren ground, on rock and soil that is incapable of allowing it to grow and flourish. Maybe that's why some of us shrivel up in spirit. We compartmentalize the Word of God only to a certain mode. The Word of God will survive in whatever form it's going to take for us. That is not our problem. The Father will take care of that. The real point is that God's Word, however and wherever it is spoken, is for us people. It is for you and me. It is a gift that will help us, tell us about ourselves, about others, about the nature of our existence, about our destinies. The Word of God that comes to us in so many kinds of ways is able to give meaning to the confusion, the complexity of our lives. It's able to give some kind of integration to the many kinds of experiences of our lives that sometimes seem so contradictory, so scattered. And yet the experiences are there every hour of the day, trying to tie everything together. The message is not so much that the Word of God needs us to survive. It is rather that we need the Word of God to survive. The Word of God that comes to us in so many ways, we should learn little by little to recognize the Word of God coming to us in those moments of insight that all of us receive more and more frequently. Even when it comes to us in a lover's quarrel, when it comes to us in moments of great pain or personal anxiety, when we begin to understand that the Word of God comes to us in the conversation that people have with each other, in music, which is one reason why we sing in church, but music all of the time and everywhere, the mystery of any form of art, through reading, through movies, through the city, or through the desert. The message of the living God comes through us, through all of those media, so that we can grow. It is a gift that is always there waiting for us to respond. The Word of God is available at the moment when one lover caresses another lover, the moment when we are in a state of shock to discover how secure we have become, how complacent we have become in life. The Word of God comes to us as a guide when we learn that we are floundering. The Word of God is with us always, everywhere, in the most common events and in the most sublime events. It is always there to be seen by those who are willing to look. It is always there to be heard by those who are willing to listen and understand. And perhaps most important, it is a gift always there for anyone who is willing to accept it.